In our world today, there's a lot of opportunities. You see it all the time. You hear it all the time. The dangers of having your identity stolen. And a lot of people are very conscious of that, but never conscious of the fact that your identity was stolen in the garden. If you go all the way back, you'll find out that the Word of God says, God said, let us create man and woman in our image. And God created you in His image and in His likeness. But then we also recognize that when they fell, they both recognized they were naked. So before God ever gave man any blessing or anything in life, He gave him an identity. And it was his identity. And the moment Adam and Eve sinned, they fell and they lost their identity. But Jesus came to give it back to us. And He's the image of the Father that we all need to embrace. So today, let's look at this. Proverbs chapter 5. We will begin here. Verse 1. And then we'll read a little bit of 2. It says, listen carefully. Or in other words, there should be some intention here. Listen intently to my advice. Now, the word here, advice, I would think that I want to connect it to, because the book of Proverbs is so connected to revelation knowledge, which means there's knowledge that reveals itself to the believer every single day. It's like manna from heaven. It's always available to the believer if you desire it. That's why often you'll hear me say during church services, let's get quiet, and I want you to give ear to the Spirit of God, because He speaks. The Spirit of God is always moving, and He always speaks, and He comes in word form, because the Word, Jesus, was made alive, and He dwells in our neighborhood. That means He's alive. Jesus speaks revelation knowledge. And the Word here says, listen intently to my advice, revelation knowledge. It comes to you daily so that wisdom, insight that is divine, and discernment, your ability of knowing right from wrong, will enter your heart, which is the heart now becomes the source of creative power, and your words, the words that you speak, will express what I've taught you. So in other words, here's what I believe, that if you and I begin to go to Jesus and we spend time with Him and we are willing to heed His advice, then you'll find your identity. It'll be heart found. And when your heart finds your identity, then your heart will then be able to translate that power into your thought life, and your thought life will then create words by which you speak. And then you will begin to release your identity through heart measures, the imagination, and your words. And what I know, what I have done in my life, if I have worked really hard on identifying what I should say and where I'm at now, and I have no problems with that. Where I'm at now is I want my heart to be the source of what I say. I want that creative power that comes out of my spirit to have the ability to say. Let me give you an example. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, I shared a testimony with you guys that I woke up on a Sunday morning and I had a little sting on this side of my lip right here. And most of us know when you feel that little tingle and that little sting, it's a blister or something that's trying to form and come out on your lips. Did you all understand what I'm talking about? Okay. That whole week, I had a great week in the Word of God, just studying, and Jesus was speaking to me, and a lot of cool stuff was happening. And when I woke up that morning and I felt that, I felt like out of my heart, I spoke to that thing, and that blister never happened. All right. Now, believe it or you don't have to believe it. That's okay. I'm just telling you what happened to me. I'll just tell you my experience. All right. So the next week, we had the whole week of Night to Shine. Now, take it like you want, but I spent more time working and sleeping, trying to recoup from every day that we put into the Night to Shine. I spent very little time in the Word, getting that feed from heaven. Does that make sense? Don't look down on me. Just we are all in the same ship, okay? No criticism here, just life experiences. Well, I felt the little sting come out on this lip. I did the same thing I did a week before. I spoke to it, but this one showed up. What was the difference? One, I spoke to it out of an experience of the past, and one, I spoke to it out of a revelation of the present. All right, so just take it like you want, okay? But I told the Lord, that doesn't make sense to me. That it worked one time, but a week later it didn't. What's the difference? Well, am I listening for his advice and his wisdom and his discernment so that my heart is affected? So that when my heart is affected, I speak words that express what I've learned. You see, revelation knowledge is what I'm getting, but I have to get something from it so that I can speak it because I've learned it. We're always on this learning curve. Now, for all of us, and I know there are some here that have been born again longer than I have been, but I think all of us can all agree that the moment we feel like we've plateaued or we've arrived, we realize we've never arrived at all. We need more of Jesus than we've ever needed before. So I want to show you this cool concept I got out of the Word, but it says everything a wise and shrewd man does comes from a source of revelation knowledge. So everything that a wise and shrewd man, now what's the difference between a wise and a shrewd? Not a shrewd, but a shrewd man. The wise man is the guy who walks in that revelation knowledge, and the shrewd man is the one who has discernment. He knows the difference between right and wrong. So this man is doing these things from a source of revelation knowledge that comes by concepts and ideas by the Spirit of God. Now, the reason we're teaching these lessons, I believe, is because I really do feel like the Spirit of God says the year of 2020 is a year of transformation. It's a year of change. But it's going to be a year of God's manifested presence and power within our own lives. A lot of times we talk about the manifestation and the presence of God, and we're always looking at it and desiring it for an external manifestation and never looking for it from an internal manifestation. I've come to realize that when my internal world lines up with the kingdom of God, my outside world does too. It does come in a line together. You understand that? And it comes pretty easily. The struggle is to get the inside world in line with his world. That's the struggle. It has nothing to do with the outside. Though outside world submits to the anointing of God. So the anointing of God flowing out of you only comes as a process of you getting the inside world straight. And let me say this to you. Nothing about it is easy. But it is accomplishable. All right. So on the other side, there's a lack of self-control and there's also foolish ways. And those things lead us away as hostages, kidnapped, as captives, robbed of a destiny. So when I'm foolish and I have no control over my own life, I'm really a hostage to these things. But I don't have to be. I don't have to be a hostage to a lack of control. I don't have to be a hostage to foolishness. I'm born again. I have Jesus living on the inside of me. But I have to do something. I have to get my inside world straight. And Jesus is really in the business of converting your heart. Amen. And it's just not when you first got saved. Listen, let me tell you a little bit about salvation. When you come to Jesus, you're saved. But today I'm in the process of being saved so that one day I will be saved. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, I come out of darkness into light. And through the process of my walk with Jesus, I'm going through this conversion of change constantly all the days of my life until the day when Jesus says, come on home, boy, then ultimate salvation. All right, so how many of you understand we're in this process? So we don't have to live a life of no self-control. And we don't have to live a life of foolishness. Because ultimately, I don't want to be robbed of my destiny. So when your identity is stolen, your destiny is stolen. When you have no identity of who you are, then how do you ever know where you're heading? So Proverbs 17, verse 22 says, the one whose heart is crushed struggles with sickness and depression. The term crush right there means to break or bruise, to be overwhelmed or subdued by another power. So I want you to take note of, it's the heart. The heart is the issue. And when the heart is being crushed by another power, then you're going to struggle in life. In all different forms of sicknesses and different forms of depression. But how many of you recognize that we don't have to live there because Jesus came to redeem us from a crushed heart? But there has to be a place where I embrace that, the work of heaven in my life. So we know, and I want you to see this statement, that there is in this world the rise of identity theft. And it's symbolic of what has happened in the spiritual world. That the forces of darkness want you to believe that you're the only one who suffers a broken identity and that it's unchangeable. In other words, you'll never discover who you really are in Christ Jesus, and it's a lie from the pit of hell. It's a lie. And the truth of the matter is, all of us in some form or fashion have had our identities manipulated with in the kingdom of God, or really in the system of living in this earth. And there are two kingdoms, and it's all, they're one's promoting the Father and one's promoting darkness, and they're always warring against you. So unhealthy, negative inner images or your inner world do nothing but crush your hopes. If all you live with on the inside of you is an unhealthy identity, a negative inner world, those two things, unhealthy and negative, do nothing but crush your hopes. In other words, crush your desire for good. Crush the expectation of obtaining a higher level of living. So without an identity in your life, there's really no true North Star. How do I find my way out without finding my true identity? But here's the cool thing. Father God gave you Jesus. And Jesus is the true reflection of the Father. And so if you want to know how do I go about getting my business straight, I go to the Master. And now listen to what he says. Now listen to what he said in the offering. He says, forsake the habit of criticizing. So what should you do? When you criticize, you ask Jesus to take criticism out of your heart. Because it's coming from deep within. When you find yourself in a position that you look at others and you pronounce them guilty, he says, don't do it. So what do you do when you find yourself doing it? You repent. You recognize it's a condition inwardly that needs to be changed. When you're offended, how many of you understand offended, offenses are destructive? I mean, they will destroy your life. They'll take you out of the plan of God. They come to steal the word. And the word of God is your creative force living on the inside of your life. So offenses do come. But you can't be offended. You have to forgive. Why? Because your future's at hand. So let me show you this in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. It says, but now, right now, the anointed one has become the king priest of every wonderful thing that has come. So Jesus, the anointed one, who's the true reflection of the Father, who is our identity, this king priest is now king priest of every wonderful thing that has come. And he serves in a greater and more perfect heavenly tabernacle that's not made by men. In other words, he's operating in an office and in a sphere that's not made by men. He's living out of God. He's living out of his spirit. He's united with the Father, and he says, whatever I see the Father do, whatever I hear the Father say, those are the things I say and those are the things I do. It brings us right back to the opening text. I listen carefully to my Father's advice. I listen for his wisdom. I listen for his discernment so that my heart will be trained so that I can speak only what I've learned. And he's operating on a higher level. That's the identity that we're to cling to. When we see Jesus far too often and we go into the depths of the scriptures, especially in the New Covenant, and they're so out there, like Jesus is operating in this realm of like unbelievable areas that the mind can't put its hands around. That's your identity that you've got to grasp for by faith. Because otherwise you're going to cling to the broken, distorted image that the enemy puts on you. You're going to cling to the identity of your brokenness and your hurt and your pain. And Jesus wants you to come up and he wants you to identify with the greater service, a more perfect tabernacle, a sphere of operation that's far greater than just breathing air. It's learning how to be with Jesus and hear what he says and being so communing with him that when one little thing shows up in your body and it concerns you, out of your spirit you speak to it and things change, and nobody can explain it because it sounds absolutely weird. The weird is because we live in such a lower standard that when the supernatural shows up and something supernatural comes about, we can't even explain it to the natural person, even hard to explain it to the church. It's hard to even talk to the church about it because the church doesn't even identify with it. They struggle with the supernatural because our identity has been stolen. But in Hebrews 3, verse 1, it says, before we get to Hebrews 9, it says, brothers and sisters, you are now made holy. That's your identity. You're made holy. And each of you is invited to the feast of your heavenly calling. You have a heavenly calling. Amen. You have an ability to tap into the resources that Jesus has provided. Amen. The Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. You have his written word. The Father's throne is available to you. All things are possible to them that'll just believe. But my heart is so connected to a broken identity. So the word says, so fasten your thoughts fully unto Jesus, whom we embrace as our apostle and king priest. So we embrace him. We set our thoughts. These are the things that the kingdom of God tells you to do. He tells you to fasten your thoughts on Jesus, and then you embrace him and you chase him passionately. You know, last week I shared with you about this uniqueness about being passionately in love with Jesus. And I don't know that any of us really knows what it is to be passionately in love with anything because we have such a broken identity. But yet we're to call out for passion. That doesn't mean you have no excuse to not seek God, to be passionate. Just because you don't understand what passion is doesn't give you permission to be without it. It doesn't give me permission to be without when I'm supposed to be passionately in love with Jesus. And I'm supposed to be passionately in love with my spouse. So if I don't have passion, I still don't have permission to not be without it because Jesus is passionate and he's the identity. He's passionate about the Father. He's passionate about the Word. He's passionate because, I mean, you know, he is the Word. He's passionate about everything of the kingdom and he's passionate about you. So I believe because Jesus is the Word, and now Jesus is what we just read, the apostle and king priest of this realm that we're talking about, where this king priest is over everything that is now wonderful. Say wonderful. God's word now, which is Jesus, has the ability and the creative power to reprogram your spirit, which is your heart, to succeed. Spending time with Jesus reprograms your future. Your passion for Jesus is found in the scriptures. Your passion for Jesus is found here in church, because these are all things that Jesus has provided for us to participate in. We're to participate in the Spirit. We're to participate in the Word. We're to participate in a relationship with the Father. We're to participate with each other. These are all things given to us by the Word of God, by the Father, for our well-being. So Jesus, who is the Word of God, reprograms your spirit, which is your heart, to succeed. God's Word is the creative power that we need. So if God's Word is the creative power, how do I then take the broken identity that's within me, or the lost identity that is within me, how do I get it out of me? I've got to get that creative force inside of me. I've got to sow it into my heart. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 5. We're going to work this just for a moment because I'm almost done. Let's go back to the original text. Listen carefully to my advice so that wisdom and discernment will enter your heart. That's the creative force. God's advice, God's wisdom, God's discernment in your heart. The result of it being in your heart, you will express through words what he teaches you. Why is that important? Now let's go to Matthew chapter 12. Verse 35. So now the good man, that means, I believe right here, the man or the woman who's passionate about changing the inside world will now, out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things. I love the fact that it's the heart that brings forth good things, but the heart had to get the creative force and power in it. Because on the other hand, the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. So it's whatever is now important to you is now is infused inside of this centrifuge on the inside of you called your heart and your spirit. And the heart and the spirit as a centrifuge separates stuff. So the power of God, the creative force of God, is produced by the heart, but it's formed by the imagination, by revelation knowledge, and is released out of your mouth in word form. So your future is connected to what you believe, how you see your life, and what you're saying. And it's very difficult for us to deal with that because that puts full responsibility of my outcome on me. And it really is not my fault because you don't know where I came from and who did what to me. But that's the broken identity. That's the thief who came so that he could steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, but I want to remind you, yeah, that's been the fact. There's an enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come so that you might have life and have it in fullness. Where does that come from? Where does that come from? Out of the goodness of the heart. The good man, out of the good stuff, he invests inside of this centrifuge, which now has the ability by revelation knowledge to discern right from wrong. It separates stuff, flesh from the spirit. No to flesh, yes to God. Well, at one time in your life, it was just like, yes to the flesh, no to God. Said there was never a time in my life like that. Sure there was. And sometimes it's still like that right now. And that's like that. We're all fighting the same battle. I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus until somebody steps on my toes. Amen. I'm glad you're so excited about this. Now, if you don't believe that the heart is important, let's go to Mark chapter 7, verse 21. So Jesus says this, "For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness." Wait, where does that come from? Where does that come from? My heart. And so what I would like to challenge you with, as I challenge myself with, is that when these things surface, is to recognize where it's coming from so that I can deal with it properly before the Father, so that in the centrifuge of my heart, I begin to separate what's of the Spirit and what's not. And he says it's pretty easily identified. When you begin to get angry and frustrated and you have thoughts that are evil, Father, help me. I need this out of my heart. Now listen, you would think, well, I was born again and I was made holy. Yeah, but we're still in this process of coming out of darkness. Listen, when anyone operates on this level, you're going to have to deal with yourself on this level. Okay? When you graduate this level and you get to this level, you got to deal with yourself on this higher level. That's why you got to continually, you go through the fire. And the fire then refines you. And all the dross comes to the top, just deal with it. Don't be condemned by it, just recognize. Praise God, I'm on a higher level, and I'm just dealing with something now from a higher perspective. And yeah, I still got more junk in me. Now, the next point I want to bring to you is this. So the fool always looks for wisdom everywhere except right in front of his own nose. So the fool is always willing to get wisdom, but he never starts here. Never starts right in front of his own nose. So we're always grasping for something out here. And the kingdom says, it's just within here. You see, because at the end of verse Matthew 7, verse 23 says, all these evil things come from within and they defile the man. But we read earlier, but if you put good stuff in you, you no longer defile yourself, but you get good stuff out of it. And so let me make this point to you and then we're going to wrap up. What Jesus brings to every human being is far greater in worth than gold and treasures. And the increase he brings benefits you far more than a windfall of income. What he does, he leads you into ways of righteousness so that you can discover the paths of true justice. Now, that's a mouthful. And I want you to know something. I'm not opposed to prosperity. But what he's trying to tell you is that when you got to compare gold and silver compared to the King of Glory, gold and silver doesn't measure up. The King of Glory is all that we're about. And in his presence, what he does is he leads you into the ways of rightness. And in the ways of rightness, you will discover the pathway of true justice, which just simply means this, that the criminal in you is overtaken by justice. The brokenness in me, the false identity in me that's trying to steal my future away, has to bow a knee to true justice. But here's the key, Proverbs 12:1. To learn the truth, you must long to be teachable. This is a pretty good prayer right here. Jesus, make me more teachable. How many of you are looking for transformation, that by the end of this year, your life will look more like Jesus than it ever did before? You want to smell like him? Look, wherever you go, you bring the Father. You bring Jesus. You bring the Spirit of God. You bring him. Well, you have to be teachable. That means everything in life is about recalculate, 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 recalculate. And it's like, that's difficult. No, it's really not. It's really not. Because as long as you stay on the path, you don't have to recalculate. So if your heart is right, favor flows from the Lord. All right, so let's stand up, please.